Kan jag vara hem en imika i sesang sages upp ändå kan se på min je anjong som en annan i som en nukuke.
Girl, I made it up. I don't know. I tried as much as I could, but yes, the beautiful song that started it all. Once upon a time, 18 years ago, a girl group that changed the nation made their debut. Yes, I'm talking about the one and only Girls' Generation, also known as Sonia Shide, also known as the nation's girl group. Their history is so iconic and they've done so much, which I could talk about for hours on end. But today, I want to tell a story about how nine girls who started with the dream, with so much talent, changed the K-pop industry, estranged one of the members to the point where now they don't mention her name, they pretend they started as eight, and she's been rewritten out of their history. And the mystery remains as to why that is, but I would like to explore my theories into how this came to be. So where did this all start? Yeah, SM Entertainment, one of the best companies, the biggest companies, most trendsetting companies, had a novel idea in the mid-2000s. They first started with Super Junior, which was the first large member group. I know people who discover K-pop now go, why is there so many members? How did they get paid? How does this work? Well, it wasn't always the case. For the most part, no, there was 3 to 5 members usually, similar to Western groups, until SM said, let's do a 12 member boy group, and in comes Super Junior. And then just 2 years later, they thought, let's do a girl group. Here comes Girls' Generation, comprised of Taeyeon, Jessica, Sunny, Tiffany, Yuri, Yuna, Suyoung, Soyeon, and Hyoyeon. 9 members. I didn't do an age order. Their debut wasn't met with acclaim to start with, but over time, by the second year, the first 2 years were a little bit rough for them, and they even had something called a Black Ocean at one of their concerts where
some of the fans
were upset that some of the members were appearing in some of the boy group's videos from the same label. They got possessive and jealous, so they all turned away and turned off their lights as Girls' Generation were performing, also known as a Black Ocean, which is one of the forms of protest done by fans, which is absolutely wild and traumatizing. Anyway, that thing that happened in 2008, and then in 2009, the girls did not hold back. They came back with G, which is one of the most monumental K-pop songs of all time. Billboard actually named it the top K-pop song of all time. An instant classic. It put them on the map. They really exploded. And that beautiful song I sang in the intro, Into the New World, is actually their debut song. And for people who don't know Korean or don't appreciate my chopped up Korean, this is what the English translation is. I love you just as I feel right now. The end to our wandering that we hoped for. In this world where sadness repeats, goodbye to it from now on. That's a bit I sung, as well as in countless unknown paths I follow a dim light, we'll be together forever, the world where we meet again. It's such a beautiful, hopeful song, and it's now actually such a prolific song in South Korea, and it's used for protests, but it didn't start off that way. So to start with, Girls' Generation did establish a new standard in K-pop, even the levels of the difficulty of their choreo, having 9 members, which has now been emulated by many, many labels, whether JYP twice or from Miss 9 or SF9 or, you know, there's many, many groups that are large members, 9 Muses as well. They set the standard and carried on pumping out hits from then on, from G, then Genie, Run Devil Run, then The Boys in 2011. And when it comes to group chemistry, the biggest selling points were Jessica and Taeyeon's main vocal synergy. As I touched on briefly in other episodes, people who know, people who don't, in K-pop groups, positions were more significant back then. Everyone has a role they play. Whether it's you deem it insignificant or not, someone is doing something. So if you're the main vocal, you will be in charge of the biggest parts of the song, in charge of ad-libs, etc. If you're the lead vocal, you usually sing just before the main vocal to lead them in, and then they take over with the bigger part. If you're the main rapper, you're the rapper. If you're the main dancer, you are the main dancer. If you're the lead dancer, you're not as strong, but you're there. You might not have the significant parts, or you might not teach choreo or have those kind of skills. If you're a visual, you're the face. You know, it's a talent. I'm sorry, not everyone has it. If you're the center of the group, you will find them in the center of most choreos, and that also adds in with being the face of the group. So there's many positions. Jessica and Taeyeon were very close. At the start, they were seen as an unstoppable team with great vocal chemistry. They have Taeyeon's voice is a little bit heavier, especially then as well. Taeyeon's voice was fuller, the belter, you know, the powerhouse. Jessica also has a strong chest voice, but a very delicate tone. When there is no past, how could I have memories of being happy with you, boy? Could someone tell me how can this be? How can my mind pull up incidents, recall dates and times that never happened? How could we celebrate a love that's too late? And how could I really mean the words I'm about to say? With a very, very distinctive vibrato. And her voice could be described as whiny at times, but it also gave Girls' Generation's music that perfect, girly, cute, addictive quality, which once she left, you could hear that it was missing. So in the first 4 years, this is now my perspective on how things looked as someone who's obsessively looked at their dynamics. By the way, yes, this is 11-year-old T, but I don't care. As long as it's a mystery, I will be obsessed. So for those first 4 years, I believe their synergy was great because Jessica was also very motivated to do her job. Now, something to be noted is Jessica trained for 7 years. So in a way, by the time you get to the 4 years into the career of being a debut, now you're an artist, essentially you've been doing this job or training and performing for 11 years now, something to consider. And I think at the 4 year mark is kind of where the shit hit the fan. I would say for those years, Jessica was easily the best performer in the group. Dance-wise, she would probably rank second or third, depending on what, because technically Hyoyeon was the main dancer. Jessica was usually second, because when they did the intro video for the members, her and Hyoyeon were the only ones that had dance videos. Everyone else had singing and stuff. So for me, that solidified the fact that she was kind of the second main dancer. Now, apparently she had anemia. She was anemic. So they pulled her back from that and told her to focus on the vocals, apparently. But for me, although Hyoyeon is the better dancer, Jessica's stage presence and charisma, she was the it girl. And she was also the center in a lot of things, in a lot in the Into the New World. In their very first choreo, they start in a line then and start to spread out, and Jessica's in the center for that whole intro. For a lot of their songs, even the most, in a lot of the significant moments, she's in the center. So in a way, I kind of saw her as the centerpiece. Now let me add something else. Taeyeon, who's the oldest member, by a month, Jessica's next. In April, Taeyeon's March. Taeyeon was technically the leader of the group. I do understand that at that time, she was always criticized for being a very passive leader. And I think a part of that is kind of explains the downfall that came later on. I think Jessica's personality was way more dominant, and you could see it in some of the behind the scenes footage where they were training and Hyoyeon disappeared for a while. Jessica was one of the first to be like, "Where did you go? We should be rehearsing." And Taeyeon's trying to calm her down.
And a quick editor's note, in the time since recording this podcast over a month ago, an old interview from their debut years resurfaced on TikTok of Taeyeon saying this about Jessica. The English translation is essentially, she's saying, even though she's a leader, Jessica pretty much leads the team as well, which confirms that in those early days, Jessica was instrumental in leading the team, and confirms why I think her disinterest started to build resentment within the team and even friction between her and Taeyeon. And for the people who will watch this podcast next week on my Patreon, you can see the footage and the translation directly.
네, 제 옆에 있는 제시카를 칭찬하자면요. 일단 제가 리더지만 정말 리더 못지 않게 팀을 굉장히 잘 이끌어가는 것 같아요. 저를 옆에서 굉장히 잘 도와주고요. 굉장히 리더십이 있어요.
And to bring astrology into this as well, Jessica's an Aries sun, Taeyeon is a Pisces sun. Pisces are not usually going to be the fiery type. You know, they could be, but we've seen it with Rihanna. But in this instance, Taeyeon is very much a typical Pisces. But obviously, everyone has their moments where they snap. Whereas Aries are just bold and direct by nature. And that is Jessica to a T. So for those years, I personally believe that Jessica was very dominant invested in the group and invested in the performance and would tell people and correct people. And in a way, I think Taeyeon was glad for that, was glad to have someone who will be outspoken and will take charge, and she was happy to take the back seat. But that's dangerous because there's other dominant personalities in it that I'll discuss later on that I think would have been reined in if Jessica was a leader, for example. But who's to say? Because even if you see other footage as well when they're rehearsing on stage, Jessica even pulls Soo-young in one performance in a kind of like friendly way because she's out, she's not in the right mark. And the look that Soo-young gives her is nasty. Oh my God. But you know, that's neither here nor there. Now, between 2011 and 2013, Jessica and Taeyeon, who were very close prior to this, suddenly stopped interacting. They did not talk to each other. They did not sit next to each other. They did not hold hands. If they did interact, it was very rare. Imagine in 3 years when you're working with someone, it's unheard of. And that was one of the first big mysteries, because fans suddenly noticed that, they were so close before. Now they don't even talk to each other. Now they're not even interacting. They don't look at each other. They barely say each other's names. What's going on here? Now, let me introduce the other members in the dynamic. So Tiffany, who is also American, Jessica's American too. They were both born in the same hospital in San Francisco, I think, which is crazy. What are the chances that you were both born in the same hospital and then ended up across the world in South Korea and then as a trainee? And it's just wild, but it's fate, I guess. Tiffany and Jessica should have been thick as thieves, but for the most part at the start, it seems like Jessica and Taeyeon were very close. But then obviously everyone is close in different ways, but and also companies do push particular relationships forward for fans to kind of get invested in. I personally feel as though Tiffany, as the weakest performer in just in an factual sense, maybe would have had some kind of resentment towards someone else who's American and is a stronger singer and a stronger performer than you, but I don't think she would have intentionally tried to sabotage. She probably would have accepted it as well. I think everyone was in a situation of let's accept things how they are, but I don't know if they were fully happy. Because once again, between nine people, your chance for a spotlight is not very likely. The same thing with Suyang as well. Suyang is one of the younger members. And don't mind you, when I say younger, a lot of them are close in age. They're all, the oldest is what, 3 years older than the youngest. And there's nine of you. So it's not a crazy age gaps here. Yeah, Suyang is one of the other members who I personally feel is a villain in the story. Her and Tiffany. But Suyang, she's always joked about wanting to be in the center, wanting to be in the center, wanting to be in the center. And my mind then goes, when Jessica left, you would have been like, this is my chance. So I suspect her and Tiffany to be part of the kind of like what comes later on. But anyway, during this time when Jessica and Taeyeon weren't really talking, I think at this point, Tiffany and Jess would become a little bit closer, but a few more interactions. And by 2013, at the end of 2013, funny enough, there's a clip at an award show where Taeyeon and Jessica are sitting next to each other and also interacting. And it was like, hold up, what's going on here? They actually feel like they're getting along. Let's mind the fact, remember the fact that also in this time, Hyoyeon had introduced Jessica to Tyler Kwan. Tyler Kwan is a big player in this story who then becomes Jessica's boyfriend. Jessica and Tyler, from how we understand things, it feels like Tyler started whispering things in Jessica's ear and influenced her to then be like, I want to start my own business, which he was one of the investors in. And when I say also, in the first 4 years, when you can see how things were so solid for them as a unit, is also Jessica's performance style really deteriorated. Post-2011, she started to get accusations of being very lazy on stage. And she was already someone who, she had a resting bitch face, and then she was known as the Ice Princess. Because, and then she was like, no, but I'm really warm. I'm like, okay. She looked pissed off a lot of the time. And I think from 2011, and I don't know what came first. Did she start to lose her passion 4 years in, and then maybe Taeyeon got upset with her, and then she started not giving a fuck even more? Or did she just... did something happen that made her not start giving a fuck? Because that's also a possibility. Maybe, like, that's the thing. We really don't know what could have driven her to then stop performing that way. Because how she did it to me, it kind of looked like she's upset with them and can't bother to perform any better than what she's doing. So she doesn't. So yeah, from that time onwards, she just wasn't giving her all. Like, even in music videos, sometimes it's like she's not even hitting the choreo the way she's meant to, barely like moving her head. And what that does in my mind, what that then does to the other members is it builds resentment, because you were the one who used to lead us and be at the front of the charge and be such a dominant force on stage. Like, when you watch Run Devil Run, Jessica starts that song. Just watch her pose. Watch that fringe and the face. Like, there's no one like her. She just was made to be on the stage. So for the other members, I can only imagine that how they would see someone start to not give a fuck whilst they still give a fuck so much. It would absolutely start to piss them off, right? So at the end of 2013, cool, things are getting a bit better. At the start of 2014, things are looking good. Once again, they're coming back with their new single, Mr. Mister, one of their best songs, by the way. And they perform at SM Town in LA. No, they perform at KCON in LA and SM Town in LA. Little did we know, SM Town was going to be the last performance of them as a nine piece. And that was in August. Just a couple of weeks later, a few weeks later, on September 30th, 2014, Jessica drops a letter on her Weibo account. Now, a Weibo account is it's a Chinese, I think, it's a Chinese kind of social media that a lot of idols use. And this was a statement that she drops. I was excited about our upcoming fan event, only to be shockingly informed by my company and 8 others that as of today, I'm no longer a member. I'm devastated. My priority in love is to serve as a member of GG, but for no justifiable reason, I am being forced out. Girl. Oh my God. I mean, I was not in K-pop at this time, so I can only imagine. I can only imagine what that felt like to read it. Because obviously at this point, people are thinking, was she hacked? Like, is this not real? Now, prior to this, actually, a few months before, I think, some Chinese members had speculated that you guys better get used to them as 8 because one has been iced out and it's so sad. And someone was like, iced out by who? And the person put a number and the number correlated to Suyoung. So it seemed as though whatever had happened discussions-wise, Suyoung had taken charge. And also, let's remember, Suyoung comes from a wealthy family. And a lot of idols do come from wealthy families. And I feel like she may have grown up with a bit more grit and a bit more oomph to fight for the things and to not really care that she's one of the younger members. She would have been she's a very outspoken girl, woman, I should say. And so that comes across, and I guess it kind of confirmed things that people were saying. Now, she carried on with another letter, which said, on September 29th, I was informed that I'll be leaving Girls' Generation. This has caused me a great deal of shock and sadness, so I'd like to tell my side of the story. Girls' Generation activities have always taken priority over my private life and business activities. In spite of my hard work, though, the agency, SM Entertainment, has asked me to leave the group. During my business dealings, I've always taken care to inform SM and the other members of the group about my activities and have always asked for their understanding in this matter. I have received permission from SM, and this agreement lasted until the beginning of August when I was setting blank up. The other members of the group had also offered me their congratulations on the matter. So blank would be the company, the business that she said she wanted to start. That changed in September, though, a month after Blank had been launched. The other members of the group had a change of heart. At a meeting of the other 8 members, it was decided that I would be told to either turn my back on my business or leave the group. I told them that I had already received SM's permission for my business activities, and that as they had never interfered with my work with GG, I also said that I had signed a contract with a business partner and could not back out of my commitments after only 1 month. I said that it was unfair to force me into making a decision such as this. Joining the group is the best thing that has ever happened to me, and leaving Girls' Generation had never occurred to me before. I approached the SM management on September 16th to ask for clarification. At this meeting, I was told that I still had the company's blessing to continue my business activities. On September 29th, though, I was given a notice informing me that I was no longer a member of the group. Because of this fact, I was absent from the fan meeting in China on September 30th. I've also been left out of all further group activities. I put 15 years of hard work and dedication into Girls' Generation, and it has caused me a lot of pain. I cannot hide how sad I am that I was asked by the agency and the other members of the group to leave just because I wanted to start my own business. I want to say sorry to the fans who've been worried about all this. I hope that they will understand that this is not the way I wanted things to happen. I've always valued Girls' Generation and always will. Thank you very much for your support and love. Now, that statement for me says a lot of things. I think there's some truths and there's also some half-truths. In regards to the part where she says she'd gotten permission to start, I believe all that to be true. I think she definitely got the permission. And also knowing how the legal laws are in Korea where you can sue someone for defamation even when they tell the truth, I don't think she would have typed a lot of this if she wasn't confident that it was the truth, or if she didn't think she wouldn't get sued, you know? So I don't think that's incorrect or false. Now, when you look at what happened after, it seemed as though there was a plan for her to go on hiatus and then possibly leave the group anyway, judging by the fact that when they had their Tokyo Dome concert at the end of 2014, they had this new arrangement of Into the New World, which is like a ballad version, which they had never done before. Now, that could be a coincidence, or that could have been their kind of goodbye to Jessica. And also, the music video, Divine, everything about that video screams someone is leaving or something's about to change, especially even how Jessica is positioned in that video. And last but absolutely not least, a year later, their video for Catch Me If You Can, which had come out with 8 members, had a version leak with 9 of them, with Jessica in it, with Jessica's vocals, which means they'd pre-planned some other content to follow with her. So I don't know if it's fully true that she hadn't planned to leave. I think perhaps she told them, this is also speculation, she probably had mentioned that she wanted to leave earlier in the year to possibly work on her business, and the other members and the company said, okay, cool. Then maybe at the last minute she went, oh, maybe not. And the members went, that's not going to work, love. You don't want to be here, so you need to go. You can't just change your mind. So I suspect that's what is possibly what happened. And then the conflict would have been like, she's half in, half out. Let's just cut it off where it goes. And that's not to say that she missed any rehearsals or anything like that. But in a sense that if you are focused on something else, naturally, especially when it's not linked to the group in any way, naturally you're going to be busy. Your attention is going to be divided. And over the last couple of years, you've shown that when you don't care, it shows in your performance as well. I will say though, once Jessica left, it's funny that she still, the next year, was it a year after? I think it was the next year, she came up with 2 EPs, which kind of proves, I guess she was trying to prove a point that, oh, look, I'm still doing my business, but I still release music. So she was making a point that I can do it all. And also another thing that I found interesting is also like kind of throwing in the other members into it kind of makes it feel as though she's completely blameless in it all and she's not done anything to take accountability in a way that's like, do you know what? This had happened and I understand. But obviously to do that, you need to kind of save face. So a reason also why I add that is because years later in 2022, was it 2023? One of the two. Jessica then released a book called Bright, which is a fictional tale of a girl that comes to South Korea. She's half American as well. And her name is Rachel Kim. She ends up joining a girl group made up of 9 members. And she ends up being kicked out of the group. It's like, oh girl, we see right through you. So in the first book, it didn't really touch on much, although it did cause controversies because of how she didn't really say it was all fiction. She just said, you know, it's up to you to decide what's real and what's not, which is such a messy thing to say. And the book also came out on the 30th of September, so nice. The first book didn't do much, but the second book, oh baby, the second book detailed everything that I'm telling you guys about in 2014, pretty much. The issue that I have with that book is that the character is basically, what's it called, a Mary Sue? She's flawless. She never does anything wrong. People are always doing things to her, and she never takes accountability. And something I don't like about that is that how do you grow and move on if you never think you do anything wrong? And maybe, you know, in private settings, she's honest about the part that she played. And mind you, I'm a Jessica stan. Like, she's like my favorite. Her and Taeyeon, I'm a bias. It's like, I love Jessica. But I have to tell her as it is and be like, sis, what did you do? Because 8 people to feel that kind of way, there must be something to it, you know? Especially because she was popular, she was so talented, and they were taking a risk losing such a strong member as well. But for things to get to that point, it kind of feels like they had to make a stand. And allegedly, there was a vote of whether she should stay or whether she should go, and majority rules. And I think majority, who knows who the majority would have been. It's touch and go, because every member has had moments where it feels like they still talk about Jessica or they still reference her, or so it's hard to tell who the villain quote unquote is. And also, let's remember, these girls were young. Like, they were girls at this point. Like, they were 23, 24, 25. Like, how, I wonder how they would talk about it now, years later, or now that they're in their mid and late 30s. So that's one of my dreams. I would love to really get them to reconcile and just kind of be like, you know what, I was young and I made some mistakes. And I think they were influenced by men. Tyler was definitely an influence. And who knows what even happened with that time when Jessica and Taylor weren't talking for 2 years. Like, could it have been a case of like a boy? You know, like, oh, you know, I could so see that being the case because they just seemed so close before. So I think at that time, a lot of things could have been happening. But regarding the book and how Jessica approached it, I think it only soured the relationship with the girls even more because they can't say anything. They are kind of legally bound to, well, I assume they're legally bound not to say anything. And mind you, Jessica, ever since she left, although she was still technically signed to SM until 2015, so I think her album did come out in 2016, and then she signed it with another smaller label that her boyfriend owned, she was not allowed, and she's blacklisted in South Korea. So she's never been on music shows to promote her music. She's never been on like network shows. I think she could do cable, but the big networks won't have her on there simply because SM Entertainment is so powerful. They would have an embargo, is that what it's called, on her, basically, where they will threaten to not send any of their own artists if they bring one of their boycotted artists. I do wonder if that's going to change now since, you know, Lee Soo-man left the company 2 years ago now. There's so much new management. I do wonder how these things will carry on. And if when she comes back and releases something in the future, will she be allowed to promote in Korea? I mean, I feel like she lost a lot. She's done well in China, and her label, her clothing label, is still there years later. I think a lot of the shops have closed though, but she managed to find success. And the girls carried on as 8 members. They made a comeback in 2015. It was quite successful. But once again, like I said earlier, their sound had changed. And then they had their 10-year anniversary in 2017. And then from then, they were gone. People were acting, doing their own thing for 5 years. Taeyeon debuted as a soloist in 2015, which I find interesting as well. It's like a lot of what maybe Jessica could have been fighting for. Who knows, maybe also part of the argument, she might have wanted more freedoms, right? I mean, she wanted the freedom to start her own business, but everyone else, it seems like, blossomed doing their own thing as well after she left. So was she the villain, really, for wanting to do something of her own? Because everyone else ended up doing it too. Taeyeon became one of the biggest soloists in South Korea. Even up until now, I went to see her in Manila in March. She's an icon. So it makes you wonder, like, would they approach it differently now? Like, if we were to talk to them, what would they say? What would they have done differently? Because was it worth what everything lost and how the legacy kind of got tainted in a way? And what started off as the nation's girl group, and now the history is always a little bit shaky. I feel like a lot of fans would like closure. Because how do you become a girl group with 5 of the top grossing tours for girl groups in the world with such a phenomenal legacy? I guess similar to Destiny's Child, but with Destiny's Child, we've had closure. Farrah doesn't matter. She didn't have her luggage. But we've seen them interact as 5. That's crazy. If Oasis could reunite, Oasis... granted it was 20 years, but for 20 years they did not fuck with each other, and they're brothers. If they could reunite, I'm sure one day we could have a moment of closure where the girls can meet again and really hash things out and just finish the legacy properly. You know, there's such unfinished business, and also for the fans to just feel like, okay, it's all done now, because how things happened just wasn't really... it just wasn't great. It just wasn't great. And I think we need closure. But that is briefly the story of girls' generation and what I observed in their behaviors and how I suspect was what I suspect was happening behind the scenes and what possibly led to the buildup of resentment and the buildup of ousting Miss Jessica Jung. If you'd like some more, I think I'm going to look, I don't know what other conspiracies or scandals or mysteries I care about. This is obviously the one I care about the most, but if I think of another one, I might do an episode about it and just yap away like I did here. But yeah, thank you for listening and I'll see you next time. Ciao.